Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we pray that as we study this passage of Scripture today, that your truth will stand out as true and clear in our minds. We pray that it might be taught clearly. We pray it will be taught accurately. And we pray that it will reach the hearts of each person that's here today for your honor, for your glory. Amen. Now, today's Bible study, I want you to relax, and I want you to enjoy a time of learning. Today is going to be a real Bible study. We're going to learn about a prophecy that Daniel was given, and what it says there at the end of verse 23 is that, before that, it says that Daniel, an angel was sent to Daniel to give him skill and understanding. And there's a revelation that was communicated to Daniel by the angel Gabriel in this chapter, a revelation of truth that we can understand, and a revelation of truth that has to do with timing. You'll notice verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Daniel has been praying about his people and about his city. And those two things keep going back and forth throughout Daniel's prayer. And at this point, he receives a revelation of skill of understanding that's beyond the understanding that he had according to verses 1 and 2. He came to an understanding already from Bible study, from the book of Jeremiah, that 70 years of captivity was about over. We realize in our study of the book of Daniel, and this chart's got a lot more information than we're going to study, but on this chart we've kind of charted and showed that Israel and Judah fell. Judah, the southern two tribes of Israel, fell to Babylon, and Babylon became an empire that ruled over God's people, the nation of Israel. God said that when they would fall captive, they would be in captivity for 70 years, according to the book of Jeremiah. And Daniel, in studying the book of Jeremiah, realized that where he lived, that was just about over. Babylon had already fallen. He's now under the reign of the Medes and the Persians, and he realizes the 70 years captivity is over, and so he's praying about his people and about his city. The city is Jerusalem, here on earth, Jerusalem. And the captivity being over, the people were going to go back to the land. And then an angel comes to Daniel that's going to give Daniel even greater understanding than just the 70-year restoration. According to the prophecy that's given to Daniel in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel is given a revelation of here that within a time period called 70 weeks, God is going to bring to completion all that he plans to do for the nation of Israel and for the city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine a time where there is going to be no more transgression of the people in Israel? No more sins are going to occur within the nation of Israel and within the city of Jerusalem. That God is going to reconcile once and for all permanently the nation of Israel unto himself. That all the visions and prophecy that are written in the Old Testament are going to find its fulfillment at a certain time and come into a point where they're being worked out and actually being fulfilled instead of out in the future. That there's going to come a time that the Most Holy is going to be anointed in Jerusalem. And that time period is called, in that prophecy there in verse 24, 70 weeks. 70 weeks God's going to accomplish all that. Now, what God is saying is telling Daniel that in a 70-week period, he's going to bring to completion everything that God plans to do for the nation of Israel, not just a restoration after 70 years, but a much greater time that's called 70 weeks, in which God is going to bring to completion everything he plans to fulfill through the nation of Israel, and accomplish it here on earth in the city of Jerusalem with the nail, and he will anoint the most holy. And that speaks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel received that prophecy there. And the timing of it is called 70 weeks. Now, that 70 weeks, we need to start working on what that week period is, because the angel is telling Daniel something. Daniel immediately knows that whatever that week, 70 weeks, means, it's got to be more than 70 years, because it's a greater fulfillment than what he's about to see in his day. His day, there's going to be a return of the people back to the city. And then eventually following that will be the rebuilding of the city. But in a greater period of time called 70 weeks, God's going to bring everything to completion permanently for the nation of Israel. And so this 70 weeks is the basis of the prophecy given to Daniel. Well, that word week, it helps us to understand, to realize that the word week has a basic meaning, and that is seven. We understand that. That's exactly what we call 7 days, 1 week. But just the very word itself, if we would just use week by itself, especially as it's used here, it meant seven. It doesn't necessarily mean 7 days. It could be 7 days. It could be 7 hours. It could be 7 years. It could be 7 months. But the number of the word weeks means just implies the number seven, that there are 70 sevens are determined upon thy people. Now, we use it in our English language almost exclusively to refer to days, but that wasn't always so. And let me show you from the Bible. Hold your place in Daniel, of course, and come back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 29. Now, you need to have your thinking caps on. And I want you to not worry about anything that you miss. Just get all that you can here, because this is an amazing prophecy that is understandable. 70 weeks is determined upon God's dealings with Israel to bring it to completion, according to the prophecy of Daniel. We come back here in chapter 29 of Genesis just to see how the Bible uses that term weeks, to see if it can be used more than just 7 day period. And certainly it was. Jacob, whose name was supplanter, that's what it means, Jacob. It means, I use the word, conniver. Went to work for his uncle Laban, who was just like him. And when you got two people who are tricksters doing business with each other, tricking each other, you got all kinds of complications occurring. And that's definitely true. Jacob went and worked for his uncle, fell in love with his uncle's daughter. And in the Bible early days, they did that. They married their cousins. And that's what Rachel was. And so they worked out agreement. Jacob agreed to work to buy the right to marry his Laban's daughter. And he agreed to work 7 years. Look at verse 20. Genesis 29, verse 20. Says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. So he agreed that if you'll give me Rachel to be my wife, I'll work 7 years. And those 7 years go right by in that verse. And it doesn't take any time. It doesn't fill in the time. By the next verse, the 7 years are over. And it, as Jacob said, as the record records, it was like a few days to Jacob. Why? Because he loved her so much. He was willing to work 7 years for her. Men, ladies, maybe I should ask you, if your husband had to work 7 years to get you, would he have done it? Hopefully he would have. And men, if you had to work 7 years for your wife, do you love her so much that would have been nothing? That the days would have just flew by? Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But let me ask you this. Do you love the Lord enough that if he would tarry 7 more years, you'll work for him and think that it's nothing? That might as well get a little bit more spiritual, huh? Get out of a lot of trouble before husbands and wives, but you know, I wonder if we get in trouble for the Lord. We'd really like the Lord to come now, wouldn't we? Because we're lazy. We don't want to serve him. We don't want to work. And if the Lord tarries, can you fall in love with the Lord to such a point that you'd be glad to work until the day he calls you home? Well, I hope you would. Jacob served that long for Rachel. And because his uncle is a conniver, what happened is after the festivals were all over and he gave them the bride and they went into the tent to consummate the marriage, lo and behold, in the morning, he didn't have Rachel. He had the tender-eyed older daughter, Leah, as a wife. And he didn't know it until the morning. And he asked his uncle, verse 26, why he did that. And Laban said, It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Well, I had to marry off the older daughter first, so you got her first. Now look what he offers him. It says, fulfill her week, the younger daughter's week, and we will give thee this also for a service which thou shalt serve with me yet another, what? Yet 7 other years. And so what Uncle Laman offers to him is, okay, now you've worked 7 years, but I had to marry the older daughter first, and that's who you got. Now, if you'll work 7 more years, you can fulfill Rachel's week, and I'll give you her to be a wife. And it goes on to say in verse 28, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So when he did this and he fulfilled her week, how long did he work for his uncle? 7 years. The word week didn't mean 7 days, did it? It meant, in that case, 7 years. Now, when he said fulfill her seven, that's all he said, fulfilled her seven. But the context was known that the original agreement, we're talking a multiple number of years. And therefore, from the context, you realize that when he said fulfill her seven, we're not talking 7 days or 7 months. We're talking about working 7 years. And just the context determined what a week meant. In that case, it meant 7 years. So a week can mean 7 years. And it does in Daniel chapter 9. Not only do I know it in Daniel chapter 9, I know, if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, that Daniel's been praying about what period of time? He's been praying about a 70-year captivity. And the 70 years are about over, and now God tells him about a larger period of time called 70 weeks. And since he's already been praying about years, and God talks about a larger period of time, he realizes God is talking to him about a period of time that's 70 weeks. But Daniel understands what that means. It's 70 sevens of years. Daniel understands that, because that's how he's already thinking in number of years. You know, we do that. We do that with the word dozen, don't we? How much is a dozen? 12. If I say a dozen period of time, well, you don't know if I'm talking about 12 days, 12 months, 12 years. We have to be talking about something, and then once the context is established, then you realize we're talking about a dozen of those. A dozen eggs, a dozen pears, a dozen oranges. So forth. The word dozen just means 12, and the context determines 12 of what? Well, Daniel's been praying about 70 years, and God says, hey, Daniel, 70 weeks, I'm going to do something else. 70 sevens of years, I'm going to accomplish the complete work upon the nation of Israel. And Daniel understands that. You know, we do it all the time, too, when you go into a car dealer. You're going to buy an Oldsmobile, walk into a brand new car dealership. I don't know if you can get one for this or not, but if you walk in there, and you start talking to a salesman, and you say, what do I have to give you to drive this one out? He says, give me 16. And you know what every smart aleck would do. They'd get out their wallet, and they'd get out $16 and hand it to the guy. And it's not even funny, because we know a car isn't $16. When he said 16, he's talking about 16 grand, 16,000. He's probably talking more for an Oldsmobile, correct? You know, 30 years ago, if the salesman would have said 16, he would have meant $1,600, wouldn't he? But we understand when we go in there and start dealing business and he says 16 what he's talking about, because we know how things go. Daniel knew what the Lord was talking. And 70 weeks, if that means 70 sevens of years, when you put parentheses, that always means to multiply. We're talking about 490 years until everything's going to be accomplished upon the nation of Israel. Now that's what Daniel understands. I believe Daniel understood that from his own reading or from the prophecy that's given to him. He wasn't given a prophecy he couldn't understand. And it tells what's all going to be accomplished. To finish transgression, to make an end of sin. We spent the last 2 weeks studying these things. To make reconciliation for iniquity. We're not talking about the cross in these cases. We're not talking about what was accomplished at the cross. We're talking about what's going to be accomplished at the second coming of Christ, when he ends all of the transgression and all of the sins and glorifies the nation of Israel, when he's anointed the most holy, the last one in the verse. Now, verse 25, we also, in our last week's study, realized that this time period is given to Daniel, and Daniel is told when to begin the time period. It says in verse 25, know therefore and understand. See, Daniel could understand. He wouldn't be instructed to if he couldn't. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, or and to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now Daniel's supposed to understand something until the Messiah shows up. There's going to be 7 weeks. I know I got to write small because there's just not enough room. There's going to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks until the Messiah shows up. For some reason, God broke down this time into to two different statements. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. From the time the commandment to build to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Not for the people to go back, not the rebuilding of the temple, but from the time there's a commandment to go and rebuild the city. And remember, we studied last week the book of Nehemiah, and that's how he's praying about the people and about the city and how the walls are torn about the city. And he goes before the king and he's sad. King asks him, why are you so sad? He says, my city is destroyed. He said, what do you got to do to build it? He said, I got to build a wall. And he says, okay, here's a decree, go build the wall. And that became the decree, Nehemiah chapter 2, the decree to go and rebuild the city. And now we know where to begin from. God told Daniel from the beginning of the commandment to go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, until Jesus Christ the Messiah. By the way, the word Christ means Messiah. John chapter 1, verse 41, when Andrew went and told Peter about the Messiah showing up, he says, come see the Christ, which in the Bible says being interpreted is Messiah. When Jesus, the name Christ isn't his last name, it's Jesus the Messiah. Now Daniel is told way back here in the Old Testament, and he actually lived before 445 B.C. He was getting his prophecies before 536 B.C. And before that time, he is given a prophecy that when the commandment to build and restore Jerusalem comes, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the Messiah will show up. Messiah, the Prince, will show up. The Messiah will show up as the Prince of Israel. And Daniel's told how long that would be. Well, you know, this is going to become the proof that we understand those 70 weeks are really 77s of years, 490 years. Because there, we can prove this timing by the additional information that's given. Daniel's told about a time until the Messiah will show up. And this time here, if you have 7 weeks, 62 is 62. 7 weeks plus 62 weeks is how many weeks? Okay, 69 weeks. Now that's not the full prophecy, is it? That's 69 out of the 70. But in 69 weeks, the Messiah is going to show up. And I can show you from Scripture that that timing is absolutely accurate. According to the formula, that the word weeks means a multiple of 7 years. You know, we have it. 7 weeks means then 7 sevens of years. Whoops. And 62 means 62 sevens of years. So what you have here is 49 years plus 434 years until the Messiah will show up. That totally comes out to 483 years until from the commandment until the Messiah is going to show up. It's interesting how it's split that way, because it gives you two different timetables to give you one total time until the Messiah shows up. What's interesting about that, the books of Nehemiah, and that's where the command is given, to Malachi, is 49 years. The rest of your Old Testament, from the time the commandment was given to build and restore Jerusalem until the Old Testament record closes, is 49 years. And notice how verse 25 ends, will you? It goes on to say, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. The rest of verse 25 concentrated on what was going to go on in the first 49 years. And that's the time that Nehemiah was building the wall. And all you got to do to find out that we're starting our timing right is read the book of Nehemiah. You know what it's all about? Going back and building the walls in Jerusalem. Nehemiah is called the wall builder. And it's all about him rebuilding the wall, because the city lay desolate. It had enemy and no protection. Before the first stage in rebuilding that city is put a wall around it, a wall of protection. And while they were building it, the enemies came up against them while they're building it. And you read the book of Nehemiah, at a certain point, they had to build with one hand and hold with the other hand. Things got so bad. And what does that verse say? That even in troublous times, the streets are going to be built and the what? The wall, even in troublous times. And that's what the book of Nehemiah talks about. And that time period took us from Nehemiah to the close of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, 49 years went by. You know what's also interesting? There's 400 years, silent years they're called, because there's no prophet from Malachi until John the Baptist showed up in the New Testament. 400 years of silence. Then the New Testament is broken open where Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, receives a revelation that his wife is going to conceive a child who's John the Baptist. And so 6 months after she conceives, all of a sudden there's a revelation given prior to that, that Mary is going to conceive, that's her cousin. And that Mary is going to conceive and the Messiah is going to be born in the world when John the Baptist was already 6 months in his mother's womb. So there's a year, the silence is broken with the announcement of John the Baptist's birth. 1 year later, both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ are born into this world. Someone take your Bible, look up Luke chapter 3, verse, let me find the reference for you. Verse 23. Luke 3:23. Carl, you got it?
No.
Who's got it? Stand up, Terry. Turn around and read it loud.
And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli.
Okay. So what we're told about, when Jesus Christ began his public ministry, how old was he? According to that, he was age 30 when he began his public ministry. We know that he ministered in Israel for three and a half before he actually died. But year-wise, 3 years. 400 plus 1 plus 30 plus 3 is how long? 434 years, and Messiah the Prince shows up. When I say Messiah the Prince, if you all take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 19, where we had our scripture reading. There came a point, a very important point in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that he was already in Israel. He was born in Israel. He ministered beginning at age 30, and right near the end of his life, just 4 days before they crucified him, the Lord Jesus Christ made a special entrance into the city of Jerusalem. This entrance was prophesied back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. If you're taking notes, just write that down and look it up. Because the nation of Israel, they were supposed to look for their Messiah, their king, to show up lowly riding on the colt of an ass. And that's according to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. When Israel is going to be able to identify her king, look for him riding off of the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem, riding on a colt. And so when it came time for Jesus Christ to present himself to the nation of Israel, he came in that way, fulfilling prophecy, so they would identify him as Messiah the Prince. You know what a prince is? He's someone who is to be king. He's not king yet, is he? He's of the royal line. He's of the seed of David. He is a prince, but he is going to be anointed the most holy. He's going to be king. He's going to be crowned king. So Jesus Christ came. Now, before I read where we read in our scripture reading, look at Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Here he's coming toward Jerusalem, and the timing is perfect for him to go in, but he knows he's going to be rejected when he gets there. So he says to his disciples, preparing them for that, verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return." And what Jesus Christ begins to tell him, look, I'm going to ride into Jerusalem, but I'm not going to be crowned king. They're going to kill me. And I'm going to leave, receive the kingdom of my Father, and then come back to reign. But they thought when he rode into Jerusalem at that time, he was going to immediately, the kingdom was going to be established. He was going to be crowned king. But he knew he wasn't. And according to the prophecy, was he going to be crowned king? No, that's the end of 69 weeks, not the end of the 70th week of Daniel. So Jesus Christ says, look, I'm going to go away. This isn't going to happen the way you think. And so he rides into Jerusalem. And so you know how they went and loosed the donkey. And it says, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon, and sat Jesus thereon, and he went and spread their clothes in the way, and he was come nigh even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be who? The King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees that were among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Hey, they're calling you Messiah. Well, he was the Messiah. They were right. He says that if he would stop them from saying that, he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He's God coming in to be crowned as king, and they're supposed to recognize that. And if they weren't acknowledging it, rocks would acknowledge it. Stones would cry out and acknowledge it. It says in verse 41, and when he came near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Why? They didn't crown him king. You know what the king is going to be called? He's going to be the Prince of Peace. But they didn't crown him king, the Prince of Peace, did they? And so he cries over the city and he says in verse 42, if thou would have known even at this, at least in this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You've rejected me. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You should have known what time this was. Daniel was given some timing of how long from when the commandment was given until Messiah the Prince shows up. And the timing is perfect. There was 49 years to the close of the Old Testament, and then a total of an additional 434 more years, a total from the commandment on, 483 years until Jesus showed up as Messiah the Prince, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know the time that they were going to be visited by the Messiah. In fact, look at the next verse of Daniel now. Daniel chapter 9. They didn't crown him king, did they? They put a different kind of crown on his head. And the Bible tells you what's going to take place after the 62 weeks. It says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He's going to come, Messiah the Prince is going to show up, and after the 62 weeks, after the second half of that equation takes place, after the 434 years, Messiah is going to show up, and after he shows up, what's going to happen to him? He's going to be cut off, but not for himself. And that's exactly what they did. 4 days after he rode in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they crucified him. He was dead for 3 days, and he rose from the dead on the next Sunday morning. And we call it Resurrection Sunday. And so 4 days after he rode into Jerusalem, they cut him off, just like Daniel's prophecy said. And it was timed, and it was forecasted ahead of time by Daniel. You know, I want you to see something about the accuracy. We know that this period of time, the first 69 weeks are accurate to what Daniel was telling them, as we understand that word weeks means a multiple of 7 years. Now, some of you have ushers dating in your Bible. I want to show you something, because sometimes this makes it look like Daniel's prophecy is off, and Daniel's prophecy is not off. You know what's off? Our calendars. Our calendars, we have a terrific time trying to figure out when years end and when years begin. By the way, do you know what? A year is actually today. I got this written somewhere. A year, we always say a year is 365 and in 1/4 days. But the truth, I don't have it right here. The truth of the matter, it's 365.2492911. I mean, it's just a whole extension. There is no even number of time. Years have always been mixed up when one year ends and another one begins. But Usher went back and he tried to pinpoint time. You know, back then they didn't call it 445 BC, did they? That's us looking back in time. But what I want you to realize is that when they did that, things aren't really exactly on schedule. For instance, if someone looks in their Bible who has Usher's dates, you look in Luke chapter 2 and it says that Jesus Christ was born 5 BC. 5 BC. I thought, you know, we timed from Christ's birth. But he was born 5 years before year zero. There was never a year zero anyhow. But he was born 5 B.C. If you look in Luke 4, in his resurrection, you know what year it says it was? Year 33. Now, that's confusing because if he's born 5 B.C., he started his ministry at age 30. He ministered 3.5 years. He was only 33 years old when he died. But if you go 5 B.C. to 33 A.D., you got 38 years, don't you? There's a five-year mistake in the calendar. And that's not Daniel's fault. That's man trying to keep track of time. That there's a five-year mistake. If you took the 445 B.C. And then count it backwards, add the year that Christ, or the age of Christ when he died, 33, you have 478 years between this time and the time Jesus Christ showed up. But we're supposed to have 483 years, are we not? Well, if we add in that five-year mistake, what do we have? 483 years, just like God said it would be. It's there. It's just our calendars are messed up. And you can see it as it shows up in the Bible. And so I want you to know that when Daniel said that there'd be 483 years until the Messiah shows up from the command, it was right to the very year. And I have a paper back there that'll show you it was accurate to the very day, if you want to get that technical. It's in the back counter there, and it's yours for the taking. There's about 25 of them back there. But what I want you to do, I want you to rejoice to realize Daniel was given a prophecy about some time. And that timing was accurate to the day, and then Jesus Christ was cut off. Let me show you as well, verse Daniel chapter 9, go down to verse 27. It says, "And he shall confirm a covenant," speaking about another prince that's going to show up since they rejected Christ. Another prince is going to show up, an antichrist. "And he will confirm a covenant with many for how long?" 1 week. Daniel was told 70 weeks God was going to deal with Israel. 69th week ended when Jesus Christ was rejected when he rode into Jerusalem. There's only one more period of time in which God is going to deal with the nation of Israel, and it's 1 week, right? What's 1 week? It's 7 years. Now, there's 7 years left in which God is going to deal with the nation of Israel, and it's going to happen when a man comes in and makes a covenant with Israel for 1 week. He's going to offer a peace treaty to the nation of Israel in 1 week, for 1 week. Look at verse 27 again. "And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation," even to the end of time. "And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." So in this last week that God's going to deal with Israel, in the middle of that week, what's half of 3 of 7? I almost gave it away. Right in the middle of this last period of time that God's going to deal with them, in the midst of that week, this prince who signs a treaty at the beginning breaks the treaty and causes people to worship him as if he's God. Now the reason that happens, come back with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Satan is going to be cast out of heaven in a future period of time. And when he comes out of heaven, he's going to persecute the nation of Israel. He hates God's people. Jesus Christ said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, flee Jerusalem." Jesus Christ already said what's going to happen when this prince shows up, and that the believing Jews better get out of the city because he's going to desolate it. He's going to destroy the city. And he's going to sign a peace treaty, but he'll destroy it in the middle of that seven-year period. "When he comes," it says in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 12, "and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days." Israel's time period of a month was always 30 days to a month. 1,260 days, if you divide it by 30, comes out to 3.5 years. He's going to break his treaty in the middle, and for the last 3.5 years, Israel is going to have to flee, right? And she's going to be gone 1,260 days. Look at that described again, the same chapter. Look it over in verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, that's one, times, that's plural, so that's two, one plus two,